We thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates soul and spirit. Thank you that all scriptures God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. I just remembered something. Hey, Jim and Dawn, would you guys come on up here real quick? Jim and Dawn, I won't embarrass you too long. All right, come on, bring the Calvary. Just felt in my heart this morning we needed to bless this. Dawn and Jim celebrated 32 years of marriage yesterday.
Well, I know what this is about.
Yes. And you know, I've known them since, I guess, like 2002, 2003, something like that, a long time. And I've always been encouraged by how their household submitted themselves to the Lord to the best that they could each and every day. And, you know, as a single guy back in the day, I would come and I'd just be, they were an example to me of what a godly husband and wife were and a godly mother and dad were to their kids. And I was so blessed by that. And we're so blessed for you guys. And we want to bless you for another 32 plus years of marriage, because you are a living example for most all of us here. So, Father, we just thank you for Jim and Dawn. We bless the 32 years they had, though it was not perfect all the time and difficult, but we thank you, Lord, that you are their God, you are their foundation, you are their purpose, you are their soul being, Father God. And it is you, in you, that they are growing together and growing stronger, and their latter years of marriage are going to be far greater than their past years of marriage. That, Lord, they will continue to shine to every young couple out there, to their daughters, their son-in-laws, future son-in-laws, and their grandchildren. What a godly legacy it is to have a godly man and wife together. So we bless that, and we just bless you too with just his presence, his love, his spirit, that as you have declared over your household, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Okay. So, we started last week reading in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And we're going to go back and read that again, just to refresh our memories of what we read last week. And then we'll pick up where we left off. Beginning, we're going to skip around a little bit, so it's Numbers 13, 1 through 3 to begin with. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the children of Israel. Let's skip to verse 17 through 20 now. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, "Go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage, and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes." And let's skip down now to verse 26. "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the land of the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and all along the banks of Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and take possession, for we will be able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were all like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Now I want to skip to Numbers 14 and we'll read the first 10 verses. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select another leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assemblies of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear. And the congregation set to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. So what's the story here? For those that weren't here last week, and if you weren't, you can listen to it on the website, the message. 40 years, Israel walked in the land, walking towards the land of Canaan, the promised land. The thing that God had told them was theirs. All they had to do was take it, right? The original generation had all died out because they rebelled and sinned against God. So now they're at the Jordan River, ready to cross into the land that was given to them. It was theirs to take. It's like standing at the edge of your living room, and the Christmas tree is at the other end of the living room, and you have your Christmas gifts, and there's your gift. It's there for you to take. So they show up, and they sent 12 spies. 10 spies, 10 of the 12 came back and said, had every excuse in the book why we can't take this. It's like looking at that same gift and saying, I can't go get that gift. I might get a paper cut unwrapping it. Oh, I don't have a scissor to take off the tape. Oh, I don't have 3 seconds to put the toy together or whatever the gift is. Oh, I'm allergic to fake trees. I mean, come up with an excuse. And that's what they were doing. They were making up excuses. They had one reason based on insecurity and fear and perception from the eyes of what God had for them. They're afraid of what was taking place. And last week we talked about, I mean, there's 4 points here, and maybe we'll get to the last three, maybe not. But we talked about how God prepares us beforehand. So for 40 years, they were being prepared to take this. And the funny thing is that we talked about last week was, you know, these 10 spies, none of them were strategists. The only one that had a right to actually say if they can achieve this or not is Joshua, who was a general and was known in Scripture as a tactician, a war tactician. He was known for his battle planning. So he knew what, he was the only one qualified to sit there and tell Moses, man, no matter what strategy we come up with, we're not going to be able to take this. But he himself, along with Caleb, the only two truly God-fearing men, said, "We got this. This is ours. This is belongs to us. If God is with us, we got it." Okay? It's like saying, if mom and dad say I can go get that present, I got it. If God is with us, I got it. He said, just don't rebel. Don't get an attitude of rebellious and start doubting and questioning. See, and the point I closed the day last week with is this. Sometimes God equips us, and we're here as a church. We're an equipping church. We get equipped for spiritual battles, right? We have to come against the enemy. We come at things that attack our families. We attack us personally, attack us as a church, things that come against us every day. We have to gird up ourselves and battle. And we talked about spiritual warfare a couple of weeks ago, a little more in depth. But there are times where God prepares us to fight, but then there are times where God prepares us to claim. This was not a time to fight. This was a time to claim. Sometimes God has this thing right for you. All it takes is an act of faith. You're across from the living room to your gift. That act of faith is simply walking up and grabbing it. There's a time to prepare for battle and put on your armor and fight. And there's time to walk hand in hand with your daddy and take what he has for you. Doesn't always have to be a fight. Doesn't always have to be a fight. And we have to know the difference. And I think most of us have come to know the difference. We know when we're being spiritually attacked. The problem is, some of us have been spiritually attacked so often and have had so many negative things come at us, then we have a good thing right in front of us. We don't know how to take it. We have a hard time claiming it. We think we gotta go against it when we just need to receive it in love, right? Sometimes we just gotta receive it in love, and that's it. Just receive it. There's a time to war and wage in the spirit, and there's a time to just say thank you, Dad, and receive what God has given you. And this was not a time for a fight. This was a time to receive. And that was point number one. You know, God prepares us to receive, to claim our victory, this thing that we're striving for, these things that God has put on our hearts to take that are in front of us. Number two, in order to claim our victory, we need to realize that God has established your victory beforehand. God had prepared the victory for you as much as he's prepared you for the victory, right? God has prepared the victory ahead of time. It's yours to claim. That spot was reserved for you. That mantle, to use a biblical term, was meant for you. That position in whatever this thing is yours to claim. He's already won the war behind, the battle behind it to achieve it. Israel just needed to cross over the Jordan and enter the land. Didn't need to raise a sword. But they weren't sure they could do that. The land was already determined to be given by God. He had told them this was yours. Something was already established by him for us. See, when God puts a call on our hearts, and I'm not saying this is going to be easy. When God puts something on our hearts to achieve, when God downloads even a word of knowledge or something that, okay, I'm feeling that this is the Holy Spirit saying, I need to step into this thing. It's because he has the victory laid out for you before you even start it. Here's the crazy thing. This land was theirs 40 years ago. Think about it. 40 years ago, when they first left Egypt, the land was theirs. They could have had it within a week. But sin that led to rebellion drifted them away from God and delayed them receiving it. But God didn't give it to anybody else. It was still theirs. He has this for you because you were designed and established to do what God wants to be done in it. Nobody else is going to be able to do what you do in this thing God's called you to do. If you are a head of a ministry, if you are in a position, in the season that God has you in that position, you were meant to be there based on who God created you to be. That was your position. That is your position. Rebellion shows up in two ways. One, we don't take it and we make excuses when we know it's ours. Or we walk away from it too early. And sometimes pressure comes. And who do you think lays out the pressure? Who do you think will create deception? Who do you think would twist things around to make us abdicate what God has for us that we were designed to establish? See, the footprint that we stand on in the position that we're in, that footprint was carved out by God for you, for your specific foot size and shape. This land was carved out for God's children, for the people of Israel, for who they were in Him. The challenge was staying in Him. And that's why Joshua said, as long as we stay with God, we got this. We got this, as long as we don't rebel. See, Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man or righteous or a man, person who is in right standing with God are ordered by God. And look at the second part of this. We always quote the first one, but we forget the second part of the same verse. And He delights in His ways. Is that a little H or a big H? Little H or big H? You can talk. It's okay. Big H, right? Is the big H me or is it God? So who delights in you when you are in right standing with God? He delights in me when I'm in right standing with Him. He delights in you when we are right standing and He's ordering our steps. You know what He's doing? He's going, hey, that's my son. Look at him. Look at him go. I ordered their steps and he's following that plan perfectly. Look at my daughter go. She's rocking it right now. She's killing it. She's achieving. She's claiming. She's fighting a little bit. You know, it's not going to be easy. She's got to do some work on different levels. But you know what? She's doing it. She's pressing into it. You know, think back about Ezra and Nehemiah. This, to me, when I think of this image, it's the most profound image I think of sometimes. When Israel was captured and sent into captivity in Babylon, many, 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 many decades later, The king of Babylon, I think Persia at that time now, was allowed Ezra and Nehemiah to leave to go back to the homeland with a group of people to rebuild Jerusalem, the city of God, and the temple. And in one of the scriptures, and I forgot the exact place, Nehemiah and Ezra talk about how they've got a shovel in one hand, meaning they're doing the work of rebuilding the walls of the temple. He was designed to do this. Ezra and Nehemiah were designed by God, chosen by God to achieve this. This was meant for them. They went back and he's got a shovel in one hand and working the land to rebuild the wall and the city and a spear in the other hand to defend as the enemy comes in. It's not a cakewalk. Building hard labor is hard enough on its own, let alone when you got to dodge arrows and people coming at you with swords and shields. The enemy does not want you to succeed where God establishes you. He wants you to fall from the position you are in. He does not want you, dad, to succeed as a father. He does not want you, husband, to succeed as a husband. He does not want you to lead your family in God's way. He does not want you to succeed, mom, as a godly mom. He does not want you to succeed, mom, as a faithful wife. He does not want you to succeed, man, woman, as a son and daughter, as a part of the family of God. He does not want this church to succeed. And there are some things we got to fight, pray and fight and battle through. But then there are other times when we know God has this for us and I just got to step into it and claim it as mine. And then do the hard work. You know, as a kid, you get that Christmas present and who does the hard work? Mom or dad, they put it together for you, right? But once you hit the teenage years, and you get those things you have to start assembling, and you go, Dad, and Dad says, now it's your turn to do it. So now you got to do the hard work in the blessing sometimes. But it's mine to claim. It's mine. And you know what? So it began to mean more when I put it together, when I established it, when I was able to build it. Because that's how God works. And that's what he has for us. He orders the steps of a righteous, and he delights, he loves it. It's a poetic way of saying Jesus is so in love with it and with you when he sees you walking in the path he lined up for you, he laid out for you. We just sang, you walked through all of my walls and conquered my shame. He busted that wall down for you to walk through, not to look at and say, wow. He conquered your shame, so you step over it and walk away from it, not put it in a backpack and carry it around with it. He loves it when you walk in the paths he's laid out. No need to fear or be afraid of what lies ahead, because we are equipped with everything we need to achieve what God says is yours to take, right? Everything that God says is yours to take. He's given us the ability to take it. It's yours. He put you in this position. He built you. He created you to hold this position. 1 Samuel 14:37 says this, then all of this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into, and he will give you into our hands. He took the care of the battle. He won the victory. He's giving the enemy into their hands. But you're saying, wait a minute. Where does the hard work come in sometimes? Because, you know, God called me in to do what I'm doing. He put me as a Sunday school teacher or an usher or, you know, a parent. And he designed me to do this. And I'm supposed to just claim it, but why does it feel so hard sometimes? Well, claiming it is the act of faith, because he's already established it. But the work that goes into it is the development of character. It includes developing your character. It's building who you are. It's one thing to take a kingdom. It's another thing to learn to rule the kingdom. It's one thing to get married. It's another thing to learn how to be married to somebody. It's one thing to have a child. It's another thing to learn how to be a parent. It's one thing to get a dog or a cat, and you all know this too. Same thing applies. It's another thing to learn to take care of them. It's one thing to get the job of your dreams. It's another thing to learn how to work at this job. It's one thing to get a $1 million check handed to you. It's another thing to learn how to honor that money and respect it and be wise with it. So it's yours, but you got to learn how to rule it or it will rule you. Okay? And when I say rule you, I mean rule you to the point where the pressure causes you to stumble, causes you to abdicate this thing that God has given you, this incredible thing that God has given you and positioned you for. He gives it in our hands, but now we have to learn how to operate it. You get this beautiful new toy, now you got to learn how to play with it. You've been wanting a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. Now you got it. Now you got to learn how to put it together. But it's still the blessing. It's still the blessing. 2 Chronicles 20:15 said, and he said, listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but who? God. God. It's God's. I can't remember very often in the Old Testament the children of Israel ever outnumbered their opponents. It was very rare. It did happen a few times when the children of Israel, or when God's people, or the people chosen by God were called into a battle, that they outnumbered their foe. Most of the times we read, it was close or they were badly outnumbered. And every time, when they were right with God, what happened? No matter what their numbers were, they got the victory, right? So that tells you it has nothing to do with numbers. Absolutely nothing to do with numbers. Has everything to do with the Spirit of God. It says, not by strength nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Has nothing to do with skill. It has nothing to do with your personal ability. God uses that within it. But it has everything to do with what he is doing. Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Victory belongs to him. The victory belongs to him. We can prepare, and we have to do our part. But the victory is the Lord's, right? It's his to take. These 12 guys that went in, 10 of them came back and said, there's too many men. There's too many people. You got these vicious wars, and you got these giants, you know. And for those that don't know, the sons of Anak, according to biblical history, it was at a time when angels came and mated with humanity, and they created like giants, people who were huge. Goliath was known to be one of the sons of Anak. So they were looking and fearing, because what they were seeing was the enormity of the responsibility of where they were going. They weren't seeing the enormity of the God who gave them that. They weren't seeing everything God has. They were seeing what they thought they had, what was before their eyes. That's what they were looking at. You know, and sometimes burdens are hard. I'm not denying that. There's challenges in everything. My God, every day is a challenge for my wife and I to be a happily married couple in a godly way. It's a challenge. It's not easy. And God forbid, you know, throw in a kid or two. And for those of you that have more than that, man, God bless you. It's a challenge. And we look at that and go, oh my gosh, what the heck did I get myself into? I missed my single life where I didn't have to shower tonight, you know? But you know what? God has us where he has us. And he did not put us in a position to fail. He didn't even put us in a position to succeed. He knew we would be successful in that position as long as we stay in right standing with him. We were guaranteed to succeed. I love what, you know, what Jimmy Evans says about marriage. And we've quoted this, and my wife has quoted this before. Every marriage has 100% chance of success. The success rate for every marriage is 100% as long as they do it God's way. If you do it God's way, oh, it's not going to be roses, believe me, every day. But it will succeed, 100% chance of success. That's what God has for us. That's what God can do. It's ours to claim because he's already established this victory for us to take. Just got to take it. Next week, we'll continue. Maybe we'll get to the last two. Maybe we won't. We're going to talk about avoiding the doubters and moving in faith to claim this thing. But right now, would you stand with me? Yeah, Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just position yourself to receive right now. Okay. I'm going to ask you to, some of you, because this is not going to apply to everyone, to take an act of faith right now. If you are just feeling the heaviness of a position you're in right now, whatever that position may be, you're feeling the pressure. And I'll confess to you, last night my wife and I had a drag-out brawl spiritually, so to speak. God had to did some major work in our bedroom last night in me and with us because we were just under major attack. And I'll be first to tell you, there's a lot of pressure I was dealing with that was not mine to deal with. Okay. If you were struggling with that kind of heaviness and pressure, I just want you to raise your hand. You don't have to say what it is, just raise your hand. If you're struggling with pressure, heaviness, okay. So you all look around. No, keep your hands up, please, if you're dealing with it. Whoever you see with their hands up, would somebody go and lay hands on them? And we're gonna pray. Feel free to get up off your seat. If you're struggling and your hands are up, stay where you are with your hands held high. Will somebody lay hands on Robin over here, please? Robin needs to be laid hands on. Thank you. Okay. I want you to use a declarative prayer right now. Use your own words, but should sound something like, in the name of Jesus, I declare, whether it's peace, whatever Holy Spirit puts on your heart, rebuke fear, rebuke anxiety in the name of Jesus, and bless them with peace or joy or hope, whatever Holy Spirit puts on your heart right now. Yeah, just release it. You have the power to release what God has poured into you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you. You are receiving prayer. When they are done, I want you to start thanking the Lord for what you were just prayed over for. Thank the Lord even now before you fully, if it's not fully gone, that's okay. As it's coming off, the Lord's taking that heaviness off. Just pray. Give a Thankful heart. Thankful heart. Keep, just give him thanks. Give him thanks. Kia ora robastia robationo. Niamanas